Harper One and Harper Audio present The Art of Talking with Children. The Simple Keys to Nurturing Kindness, Creativity, and Confidence in Kids. By Rebecca Rowland, EDD. Read by Jennifer Jill Araya. A note before we begin. Don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider. Or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/audio/The Art of Talking with Children. It contains a couple charts, tailored tips on talk organized by ages and stages, and a selected bibliography, and will be referred to throughout as the enhancement. Introduction. Why conversation matters. I know we did a lot, I said to my husband, Philippe, after we'd finished putting our two kids to bed and cleaning up. But what did we talk about?
I don't know. Philippe spoke with his usual straightforwardness. The usual, I guess. Really, I don't remember.
We sat in our Boston apartment at the close of a busy weekend, planning the week's schedule as we usually did on Sundays. We had to get organized before Monday. Still, despite our best intentions, we usually forgot something. There was just so much to juggle. Our weeks passed, like those of many families, in a blur of activity. Our weekends, too. We had little time to prioritize or reflect. And, I realized, little time to talk with each other, or with our kids. That lack was especially ironic, given what I did for a living and what I was passionate about. For more than a decade, my work as a speech-language pathologist, lecturer, and researcher has centered on understanding and supporting children's language and literacy development. I've taught at Harvard Graduate School of Education and lectured at Harvard Medical School. During those years, I've worked with children from toddler age through graduate school. My work has brought me into contact with so many different children and families, from high-poverty preschools to Montessori schools, hospital clinics, and many places in between. I've met kids one-on-one, in small groups, and in classrooms to assess their language and reading levels and teach them speaking, listening, reading, and writing skills. I've served as an academic learning specialist and taught kids with dyslexia, those on the autism spectrum, and those with major reading struggles. I've loved understanding these children's development, following them closely, talking with their parents, and figuring out strategies to help. So that question I asked Philippe, minor as it seemed, mattered to me. Over the next days, it hung in my mind. In the rush of activity, what exactly did we talk about? In talking to other parents, I realized our family wasn't alone. Nearly everyone was truly busy and didn't find time for much good conversation. We hardly get home in time for dinner, then it's a story and bedtime, one friend said. Another explained, "We know our son wants our attention at dinner, but when he's quiet, we use the time to check email." The frantic pace of family life didn't seem to allow for much beyond surface talk. Many parents I knew raised kids while working and caring for older relatives, part of the sandwich generation. Others worked night shifts, or had to travel for work, or had long commutes and felt pressured to make the limited time with their kids count. Still others were exhausted by the demands of school, sports schedules, or college application deadlines. And that wasn't even considering self-care. When conversations happen. When I thought more carefully about our household conversations, I realized my daughter, Sophie, then 5 years old, and I had had many engaged, inspired conversations in the last weeks and months, but they hadn't been at the forefront of my mind. Several years back, I'd taken her to Boston's Museum of Fine Arts. She'd run around dim-lit hallways in the ancient Egyptian rooms, peering into each sarcophagus and asking question after question. Finally, she sat on a bench and grew quiet in the peace of the dark halls.
"Where did the mummies go?" she asked after a long pause. Sample complete. Ready to continue?